Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Nomicon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushie.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion. Or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street. The horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed.
I love that you put your arms in the air every single time.
Every single time. I need the energy, which is funny because...
Not a video podcast.
Not a video podcast. The horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed and the vampire obsessed. Forgot to bring my synonym book to my thesaurus to the podcast. It's going to be a good one this week, guys.
A synonym book.
All right, well, this week we are talking about the Universal Studios stunt spectacular Day Shift.
This does feel like a Universal Studios, like, you need to get out of the sun for an hour, We're going to have vampires during the day.
Yeah, it's where you go to see a bunch of people do backflips and crumple their necks. That's the number one move in this movie.
Oh, man, if you need to see a chiropractor, one, don't, because it's fake science. but, like, watch this movie, it'll make your neck and back feel things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so this is the Jamie Foxx vehicle. Action comedy, buddy cop kind of comedy. Killing vampires, hunting vampires, taking them down in the San Fernando Valley. Hit Netflix a couple years ago, and for some reason, people just didn't give a shit about it.
I know.
Which
kind of makes me sad, because when we saw this and when it came out, we were like, that was so fun.
You put it on your best of the year list.
And then I went on the internet, and everybody's like, what the fuck?
You know, this is the problem. This is the problem with Netflix stuff, with streaming, because you were just sitting on your couch doing nothing. It didn't require anything of you. I find that when I watch movies on Netflix, the bar's low, and also just like, I'm like, what do you got? Show me what you got. Like, there's no fanfare to it.
Are you judging the movies before you put them on?
I think there's just a sense that Netflix movies aren't real movies the way that movie theater movies are real movies.
I did notice upon this watch that it was a very distraction-friendly movie.
Oh, yeah. You could pick up your phone anytime you want.
They spell out the rules of the world all of the time for you. Also, right before it's about to apply again and while it's applying again, just in case you forgot.
Yeah.
Or you missed it the first time because you weren't paying full attention.
Right. It's like Michael Rapaport in Deep Blue Sea, where he's just like, you mean the sharks are doing to us what we did to them? Like, after some scientists not even like a science-heavy discussion, but we gotta have some audience surrogate recapping everything. Yeah, it's got that template, but goddamn, is it loaded with, like, really funny characters and just great stunt work.
Oh, yeah. Like, when I want to watch fun, trash, horror action, this is exactly what I mean. It's silly, it's surprisingly funny, and it's not, like, super complicated. Like, you can drop into this world and just be like, okay, yeah, it's John Wick, but instead of coins, we're using vampire teeth. Ta-da.
Exactly. And I mean, it's produced for the people that made John Wick. One of the stunt actors or coordinators from John Wick is the director of the movie. I love action movies.
And the pawn
people.
Guy is also in John Wick 2.
Oh, that's true. He's in John Wick 2. He's like, you killed my brother, and I will kill John Wick for a fucking dog. Like, there's a lot of that.
I'm going to butcher it. It's Peter Stormare?
Stormare.
I was also going to say that this is of an era of, like, the Constantine movies.
Hell yeah.
And he's also in that.
I mean,
and so is Keanu Reeves.
We're still living in the era of the Constantine movies.
It felt like a very early 2000s action fantasy kind of thing. Like, when we were getting the Queen of the Dams and the Constantines. Side note, Keanu Reeves is really pushing for a Constantine sequel. Like, he himself is like, guys, what?
You guys want to do it?
I can't do John Wick anymore because of my knees, but Constantine.
Constantine's not that hard,
it's
right?
It's a little slower.
Yeah, you just smoke.
Less physical action.
Fall down.
A lot more shotguns.
And probably a little more CGI heavy with
and
all those demons.
And Bibles, too, right?
Lots of Bibles.
Yeah, so I love this because it reminds me of those movies, but also because it is fun first. The first scene of this movie, and this is going to be kind of like a compliment and a complaint, is the best action scene of the whole movie?
Maybe. I mean, it's really good.
Well, I inflected that like a question, but I'm saying it. It is the best action scene of the whole movie.
I figured that's what you were getting at, given that it was a bit of a dig as well.
It's a phenomenal scene. Like, it is great. It tells you what the movie is. Maybe that's also a Netflix thing. They're like, put your fucking phone down.
Mm.
This is fun. So maybe they're just like coming out with what we got. Like, they are bringing you full fanfare, rolling out the carpet, Willy Wonka somersault down the red carpet. Action. But I still think it's the best action sequence of the film, though.
Do you think it's because there isn't a bunch of silly dialogue back and forth between other vampire hunters and stuff? Because that's the one fight
he
in
really
the movie.
Doesn't talk to that old lady.
He doesn't need to. He's like, I'm here to kill her. Like, why start a conversation now? But yeah, it's just Jamie Foxx on his own fighting vampires. And, like, we introduce all the stuff that he's going to use throughout the rest of the movie. We get the rules and, like, what he's doing. Like, the fact that we're taking, you know, teeth out for cash and stuff. His cool little silver razor wire that seems to get everybody. It's all there. And, like, it's also, like, 18 different neck-breaking moves in that first sequence.
Oh, man. So much contortion and crumpling. The action is so fast, and it's just full maximalism. It's just like, you're like, wow, that move was really cool, and then you've already missed four. So you just have to be like, wow, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't you love this new, like, this new era? I mean, we've been overloaded on it, don't get me wrong. Like, John Wick has really changed everything, but, like, I love action movies that are made by and for stunt people.
That's one thing I was gonna mention up top, is we just need to give all of the action movies to senior stunt people.
Lately, that's how it's
been. They know what can be done. They know where to shoot it, how to shoot it best so it's best for the actors, and they go for it because they really want to show off. They want to show their chops. This movie, I will say, does have a lot of CGI enhancements.
Yeah, yeah.
But we are seeing some really phenomenal fighting.
Absolutely. Like, you, like it's all sort of sweetened a little bit. It is, you
know. Oh, yeah, there's some vampire contortions that are, like, impossible.
Yeah, there's a little too much CGI. Sometimes I'm like, is that car real? Like, I don't know.
It makes you doubt. Because, like, you're seeing vampires swing around people's shoulders and from the front of them to the back of them. And, like, the move starts out looking like something that, you know, maybe was just, like, sped up a little or sweetened. Mm-hmm. And then it just becomes complete, like, fiction.
Yeah, and, you know, like, any time that it's mostly just used for stuff that's impossible for human beings
and they
to
are
do.
Vampires, so I get it. We want to do a full out Ash versus Evil Dead. We're full on fighting deadites here.
Hell yeah.
And they're going for it. So I get that. I just wish I could marvel at the physical effects like I do in John Wick. I'm like, wow, people are doing this.
That's because in John Wick, it is mostly human beings doing human being things. Because mm-hmm. it exists in a human being
but
world.
But you see
right?
what I mean? Is we can't give this movie as much credit as, say, John Wick because I can't fully ascertain what is real and what isn't.
Sure, absolutely. And but you know, on the other hand, we are finally moving to a point, like, we're making some progress here on getting stunt actors
but
the
AI,
recognition
John.
That they need. So, no, here's the thing.
But AI is coming.
Okay, well, I mean, we're recording this around the time of the Screen Actors Guild. The Fall Guy just won an award for stunt ensemble, you know? It's like we have
not at the Oscars.
The Oscars haven't happened yet.
Did they nominate stunts? No.
I don't think so, but we're working to it's baby steps, okay? The point is we've introduced an award that is designated for human beings doing human being things. And I think that's the way that we're going to give people an incentive to stay away from CGI and AI shit.
That's true. And there has been a lot of controversy with the films that are now nominated for Oscars and we're kind of front runners. And they're like, oh, by the way, we used just a little bit.
Just a tiny little bit. It's a slippery slope. It's a hard argument. It's a super gray area because, like, we've always sweetened stuff. Like, if we're going in there with After Effects and taking pimples out and whitening teeth, it's not that far off.
Well,
from
yeah,
using AI.
And they've already been, like, lassoing crowds of, like, 13 and making them crowds of 200. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
just what movies are.
They have kind of already been doing that. I'm just concerned that we are climbing up the fun slide by having special effects getting better and better and better. And now we are going to ride down the slide and there's no turning back. Like, jobs are going to get, like, fucking destroyed.
And this is why we need more stunt-focused action films. Because we're going to see human beings getting really hurt live on camera.
Well, and you appreciate the skill and the talent.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking up some of the people in the film just ahead of recording, and the character that plays Heather, she's the neighbor with the really cool jacket with the fringe, the nurse neighbor, she is a black belt.
I mean, I think a lot of people in this movie probably have martial arts
Do you think
training.
Jamie Foxx is a black belt?
No. Are you kidding me? Absolutely not.
But I just think that's really cool.
Yeah, that is great.
Like, and she's not an actress I'm personally familiar with, but, like, I loved her.
I bet you've seen her work in movies, I guarantee
it. I probably have. But, yeah, so I was just like, oh, cool. And now I'm going to watch a bunch of her movies because I looked her up. And she's in, like, some Crouching Tiger thing that I think Netflix or Prime made.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about that.
So I'm just like, yeah. Okay.
We can check it
fighting.
Out. I like fighting.
Well, and just that they're casting people with actual skill is what I really appreciate.
Yeah. And, you know.
Like Dave Franco.
Okay, I want to say it here right now. Dave Franco's great in this movie.
He's so good in this
movie. He's really goddamn funny.
He's so funny.
You get mad at yourself how much you laugh at Dave Franco
honestly,
in this movie.
That's how I feel about Dave Franco in general.
Yeah.
Is that every time I see him, I'm like, oh, here comes Dave Franco again. And then he wins me over. And I'm like, I forgot. I like you.
Yeah, or like when he made that horror movie, The Rental, you're like, okay, let's see this Dave Franco horror movie. You're like, no, this is not bad. This is a pretty good
it's
home invasion
bad.
Movie.
That's another one that people shit on unjustly.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I like that movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I think it's fun. I think people were expecting more of it, but
sure.
I think that it's got more of a Strangers vibe than people were anticipating.
Yeah, well, people need to revisit that movie now that they've all fallen in love with the bear and the Iron Claw. Like, what's that actor's name? Mm. One everybody's nuts about?
Mm.
Everybody but me, apparently. I can't remember his goddamn name. Jeremy Strong? Is that
right? Oh, that sounds right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's not in this movie, but Dave Franco is, and goddamn is he funny. He's just, like, such a silly idiot in this, and he is not the person that I thought would have made a great pairing with Jamie Foxx, but goddamn are they great together.
Mm-hmm. He's playing such a fun nerd.
Exactly. Like, even like Jamie Foxx tosses him a gun, and he's like, ah! He just doesn't know what to do with
and
it.
And they end the scene on that moment, which I think is great.
Yeah.
There are so many funny moments in this movie, and he pees his pants so much.
He pees his pants. Whoop. He pees his pants a lot in this movie. So much so that at the end, he's like, I didn't pee my pants, guys. Like, that's his character arc, is that he didn't pee his pants on the job.
Proud of him.
Yeah, good work, bud. I don't know how much I love him becoming a vampire at the end of the movie. Like, it works.
It makes sense. It's a little slapdash, I will say.
They just, it's like, oh, it's okay. I'm not concerned with eating humans all of a sudden.
Okay, so let's kind of 1-2 skip a few get to that. Because
yeah, I'm fine with that.
There's a chance people watch this on their phones or didn't watch it at all.
Yeah.
So Day Shift, we follow Jamie Foxx, who is Bud. And he's
Bud Jablonski, yeah, is this character's name.
I feel like that was a name that they just like wrote into the script and they were like, we'll control F that later. And
was
then they did not control F it.
Was it written for Lon Chaney Jr.? Like, this is not a character name that you would give a real person.
I mean, Bud is a name that works for, like, I'm pretending I'm a pool cleaner.
Yeah. If this was his alias, sure.
But so he's sort of estranged from his wife. I think they're separating, but not divorced yet.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, really busy with work and doing those things where he's like, you know, a little late to pick up his daughter and maybe not being the greatest dad slash ex-husband.
So the problem, too, is that he is not part of the vampire hunting union because he's just too reckless. They've made him turn in his fucking badge many times.
All of the other vampire hunters we've seen who are, like, up to snuff and respected by the union are kind of doing the same shit.
Yeah, like, hey, buddy, it's also a weird thing to point out. Like, hey, buddy, you're not following protocol killing these supernatural demons under the guise of the LA public. Like, no one knows that vampires exist, but also, like, you're being a little reckless here. Like, their complaints with him aren't that he's getting too close to letting people know that vampires exist. It's just that he's
not getting a warrant before he breaks into an abandoned bowling alley.
Like, violation 103, made a mess, basically.
And they're all, like, all of these vampires are holing up in, like, abandoned Radio Shack. So, like, if he goes in there guns a-blazing, like, who
gives
cares?
A fuck?
Who cares?
Yeah. And but because of that, he's essentially selling these vampire teeth on the black market, and he's getting pennies on the dollar for them. You know, he's strapped for cash, and he's at this point where basically he needs 10 grand otherwise.
They rounded up on that.
they really rounded up on that. Yeah, he needs money to pay for his daughter's private school and to pay for her braces. And if they can't get that, then essentially he struck a deal with his wife that if he can get those bills paid, they'll stay in town a little while longer.
I love that the ticking clock in this movie, like ticking clock as a story device, is just his wife being like, no, I need money for her braces and I need money for her school. And like the school thing is, yeah, like that has a timeline, like when it's due. But the braces thing, like, could you give him extension maybe? The entire movie is like, I gotta get that money by Monday.
Well, I think it's just that she wants to put the house on the market by Monday.
Yeah. If my husband showed up with $5,000, or maybe my estranged husband showed up with $5,000 after like 4 days, I'd be like, wow, you're doing great.
It's so funny you say that, because my assumption here is that she clearly does not know that he's a vampire hunter. She thinks that he's just a pool cleaner.
Like, with, like, agoraphobia.
Yeah, because he's got, like, 18 locks on the door. He's kept it from them, what he actually does. And by the sounds of it, he used to work the night shift. What pool cleaners do in the night shift?
I mean, in L.A., that's kind of smart. It's, like, less hot.
I guess.
Less chance for sunburn.
But everybody wants to use their pool when they get home from work.
Yeah, but then there's no pool cleaner there, and you can use it all the time.
Anyway, I would assume that if my estranged husband, who I think is a bit of a deadbeat, showed up after 4-7 days with $10,000...
She didn't even bat an eye when he's like, give me till Monday to get a lot of money.
Yeah. It's just going to be illegal activity.
Yeah.
Like, that's not necessarily showing that, like, you're a great guy.
Yeah, when it's finally revealed, like, I hunt vampires, she's like, oh, I thought you were just
this
a drug dealer.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
this
really.
This makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I guess, honestly, like, if you're strapped for cash and you need $10,000, you're not going to give a fuck where it came from as long as it's not coming back to you, you know? Also, husbands and
plausible
wives
plausible deniability!
Yeah. Yeah. Plausible deniability, can't be compelled to testify against your spouse. Boom. Getting those braces, baby. But yeah, a good friend of his, Big John, played by Snoop Dogg, in the outfit you would never put Snoop Dogg in, right? He's got a cowboy
hat. I love
hat.
It, though.
He's wearing denim.
It is everything I wanted to see Snoop Dogg in ever.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of salt and pepper going on.
Yeah, like if I bought a Snoop Dogg action figure, I would have bought Big John before this movie even existed. Like, they gave him a cowboy hat, and he's got a big gun.
Oh, so I thought you were talking about Big John in the beginning of the movie, where he's just like regular old salt of the earth guy with a gas station coffee, you know, like just like a normal looking dude.
He
just
still
a nice
looks
guy.
Like a cowboy, though.
He's wearing a big old cowboy hat. But yeah, when he's got like the black leather trench coat and Big Bertha, the big machine gun at the end of the movie, just mowing vampires down, it's a look.
How is that like above board? How is that in the union? Like union approved?
I mean, it's probably not. But you know, desperate times call for desperate measures.
That's true. He was rescuing a friend.
Snoop Dogg's great in the movie, though.
He is great.
He's just like really a really calm presence.
Yeah, who just very sort of, zen.
Yeah,
it does make for one of like the finale action scenes, maybe a little less actiony because I don't think Snoop Dogg is as young as he used to be.
What are you talking about? He totally like drop kicked a guy, and it was definitely him and not a stunt actor. I saw him do a flip.
Though, when they're in the cave, which is one great finale setting, uh-huh. But they are just like walking a little slow, shooting people, and you know what? It's fine. That's great. He's being a good pal rescuing his friend. And they got guns, so I guess they don't have to do kung fu, even though I would really like to see something.
You want
to
see? Yeah. You wish they had paid for Snoop Dogg to do the training?
Or, no, not even Snoop Dogg. We could have just hidden his face and had some other guy do it.
I mean, we did a little bit.
Yeah.
We did enough.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx is kicking ass in this movie, though. Like, I think he's doing a lot of this stuff.
And he's funny.
Yeah. He's like, always funny.
He's doing so much for this movie. Like he's being the emotional center. He's also being the humor, and he's action.
Yeah, this is why you hire Jamie Foxx. I mean, he's funnier in this movie than he was in his comedy special last year. But hey,
yeah, he was dealing with some things.
Yeah,
though.
You know, he's just like, hey guys, I almost fucking died. But yeah, Jamie Foxx is fucking hysterical. He's great. Forever talking about him and Baby Driver. Like I think he should have gotten nominated for that. Like, such an incredible psychopath.
Wow, he's such a douche in that.
He's like on par with, you know, like the guys in The Goodfellas, like Joe Pesci or Robert De Niro. Like just like they're fun and entertaining, but they're hollow inside as a human being. He was incredible in that movie. And yeah, barrel of laughs in this one. Like so many good laughs, especially just like, you know, like with Dave Franco pissing his pants and stuff, or even just giving him that jar of the vampire scrub. He's like, by the way, don't get any of that in your butthole. Like it's, you know, it's not gonna kill you, but it's gonna hurt a lot. There's too many good bits of dialogue with him and Dave Franco where, he's never lost how funny he is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, available in the U.S. For New York, 8778-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Okay, so in the process of all this vampire hunting, we find out that the senior citizen that he murdered in the beginning was the daughter of the up-and-coming boss vampire lady in town.
Yeah.
And she's, she's invented sunscreen. She's also a realtor.
Yeah.
And she's, like, bringing vampires into town. She's bad.
Yeah.
She's a big bad of the movie.
The first time that they're introduced to a vampire running into the sun, they think it's a familiar. They shoot it. It gets up and runs away. So clearly vampire. But it's the middle of broad daylight. This is crazy. And then without any evidence or research, Jamie Foxx is like, oh yeah, I heard about this sunscreen vampires got now where they could stay inside, they can go outside for 15, 20 minutes. Real game changers. No, fuck us up.
The logic of this universe, John, is that anything we see on screen, all of the characters
know about
are
it.
Aware of. Like, there's a moment when there's this Carol character who is like Dave Franco's nemesis in his desk job.
Oh yeah.
And there's,
she's always eating his yogurt.
Yeah, there's Carol jokes between him and the union boss. But later on, Bud, Jamie Foxx, references Carol, like he's in on Carol.
He's like, don't worry, we're gonna fuck Carol up.
And you're like, what?
How do you know Carol?
Just became friends. How did you know about Carol?
Also, Dave Franco trying to defend his fucking yogurt from Carol, like, tomorrow I'm gonna fart in my yogurt and you're gonna eat my fart. So stupid.
Good stuff. Oh, yeah, so Big Boss Lady, sunscreen, evil.
This is the problem. You can't, with this much passion, the story can't be that great.
She finds out that Bud is the one that killed her daughter because she kills Peter Stormare,
mm-hmm.
And I guess one of the teeth that he sold him
was the old lady's teeth.
Yeah, and oh no, she found out because they went there and they like licked his blood off a piece of glass or something.
Yeah, they're able to track him down based
because vampire magic.
Vampire magic. She's a pretty cool villain, I think. Like, she looks great.
Yeah, and then they steal his family and take them to their secret vampire lair, which looks really cool. It's like an underground temple. And then they stand there and wait until Jamie Foxx shows up.
Don't you love it when a villain just waits?
I love it.
And then, to make it look like they're actually doing something, they occasionally go like, go look at that. Go do, I heard something. Go investigate.
Right,
go
before...
get your arms pulled off by two other vampires.
Right before Jamie Foxx shows up in the main room of the temple, she just starts kicking the mom for no reason after standing there with them for like what was probably 2 hours.
I know. She's like, I'm going to kidnap your family. I'm going to leave a vampire. I'm going to leave Dave Franco here, who we've turned into a vampire, to kill you. I'm going to turn your daughter into a vampire, and I'm going to watch while she drinks your wife. And
then she says just doesn't her plan, do any- yeah. I'm going to turn your daughter and make her eat your wife several times. Like, she kidnaps her to a second location. She's alone with them, has plenty of opportunity to just, fucking do it already.
Yeah.
And she just tells them again.
And the weird thing is, we don't really get into their plan. The other thing that fucked me up, that we never talked about this, when they're in the vampire lair at the end of the movie, like their home base where they're manufacturing the sunscreen, and there's some talk about her buying up all the real estate and making it just like a vampire haven.
Yeah, that's like her B evil plot.
Yeah, like I guess she's going to just move all the vampires into the valley. They come across a huge arsenal of vampire killing equipment. Like, the vampires have been stockpiling silver bullets with wood in them. Like, they re-up in the vampire lair with vampire killing.
Yeah.
Them. Why do they have all that?
Well, so there's not enough time for them to do extra killing of the vampires in their journey on to the main temple room. I mean, Jamie Foxx and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
So, plot hole.
Okay.
They pick up guns that have wood bullets so that they don't have to stop and do extra killy-killy.
I just feel like there was like another scene where she's bringing all
there's
the vampires.
There's got to be some kind of turf war, right? Like, there's some gang thing. Yeah.
Like, she's going to bring all the vampires into the valley, but then she's going to like genocide the ones she doesn't like.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And maybe, it's to keep people in line. Keep people from like stealing the sunscreen and like selling it on the black market. I don't know.
I guess that's true. You got to rule with an iron fist.
I don't know.
You know?
That scene, though, where Bud, Jamie Foxx, is driving his daughter.
Oh, my God.
Trying to avoid all those vampires.
Because, yeah, he gets a phone call while he's taking his daughter to a birthday party. And that's where, essentially, the big bad, her name in this movie is Audrey San Fernando. She calls and says, I'm going to kill your entire family, which he takes to mean right now. So he takes his daughter away and then they go on like a fucking car chase of the century. I loved it.
It's so great because he gets her to like put on her headphones and play with the tablet. And she's playing essentially Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And it's the best 4D experience ever.
He's like, hey, so, you know, daddy's going to be doing his crazy driving. Don't worry about that. Don't take your headphones off. Don't look up. Everything's totally fine. I'm going to be over here slicing and dicing dudes in the parking lot and blowing up motorcyclists while we drive. The fucking cinematography, the drone camera work in this sequence.
The drone
astounding
stuff. There were times where I was like, are we even filming this or is this all digital?
I don't know. I don't care. It looked, well, I do care, but it looked amazing. Like, guys, I'm telling you, if you have not seen Michael Bay's Ambulance, you gotta see it.
Every time he gets the opportunity to recommend this fucking movie.
It's because every time I see drone cameras or I hear about drone cameras, I'm like, that is such a stupid idea. Like, are you really going to get good footage? And the answer is yeah. Yeah, you are. You can get, oh my God, you can get footage with drones that you cannot get with other cameras. And I'm not saying we should replace every camera with drone cameras, but there is a shot in this goddamn movie in the middle of a car chase. We are inside the bad guy's car. And then we rise up through the sunroof, and then we're in the air, and we go down the street
that
and get
cannot,
into the action.
That cannot be real, though.
I think it has to be.
There's
in my heart, I need to believe that it is. Otherwise, what are we even doing here?
There's got to be some slicey-dicey happening there.
Nah. I mean, like, when we see a motorcyclist just fucking explode, I'm pretty sure that's all fake and
I stuff. Love that the motorcyclists who were chasing him definitely killed themselves.
Yeah, they did nothing.
All of them. One of them ran into a random truck. And the other one hit a guard, I don't want to say guard rail, but it was cement.
Yeah, something in like the water basin. Is
median?
That what you call it? The runoff? Yeah, median. That's the good
got
word.
Got it.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
You're, the one that kills himself in the truck is the funniest one because he's like, I got a little bit of a shortcut. And then he like pops a wheelie and goes through a zoom glass.
We go through a gym. Like, why are we following him for him to just die?
Yeah, and then when he gets out onto the street, he gets fucking T-boned by an SUV. Not one that Jamie Foxx is driving. Just a random pedestrian.
Stupid vampire.
Oh, man, that sequence is great. Also, to get away from them, because he's like, oh, shit, we got off onto this little area where, like, it's too short and like, my truck's not going to fit. He gets out, and you think he's going to, like, do this last stand where he's going to, like, shoot at the dune buggy that's chasing him. But instead, he just deflates all four of his tires, drives through, and it, you know, heads off into the next sequence.
So the logic there, John, if we're going to think about it, though, is the bad guy then pulls up and his truck is too tall, and he's like, damn.
I know.
And then just gives up and drives off.
And it's also,
well, Jamie Foxx is driving on the other side of that gorge at like 2 miles an hour on four flat tires. He's driving on the rims.
Look, Kim, one of my favorite movies of all time involves two guys who come back from the future. One of them turns into liquid metal and the other one's a robot that's here to save humanity.
I thought you were talking about Bill and Ted for a second and I was like, turns to liquid metal? But I was so sure it was Bill and Ted. I was like, it's me that's wrong.
We're going to come back around. You're like, maybe it was Bill and Ted 3. I don't really remember that one. Yeah. Sometimes I don't need logic, you know? Sometimes
yeah.
I just need a good time.
We're just like, the ending. Why did they do this? Why this? Why this? Action movie.
Exactly.
Ba-ba-ba-bum.
You can get away with fucking anything if you're not trying to be Dune Part 2, you know? Like, you don't need, things don't need to make sense as long as they're a good ride.
Another sequence that I really liked was when the two good vampires, we haven't really talked about Dave Franco as a vampire, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. They separate off from Jamie Foxx and Snoop Dogg because plot reasons. They're just like, we must go fight other vampires.
Away!
And then they away. And then they show up for the convenient second in command fight.
Yes.
Where
they fall through the fucking ceiling.
Where they're like, we got this. And they're going to fight the like head henchmen.
Yep.
this is great because Heather, the neighbor nurse vampire,
yes,
is super proficient because she's obviously been a vampire for a bit. Dave Franco is fast and he's flippy dippy, but he is so new at being a vampire. He's just getting tossed into walls and shit. Like, he's still just as like dunderheady, just in like fast motion. It's a pretty great fight sequence because he keeps fucking getting up and trying because he's resilient. He's a vampire, but he sucks at it.
He still sucks.
He sucks a little.
He basically just throws himself at people and hopes for the best.
And because he got his head cut off and they had to change his outfit, he's wearing like the most stoner sweater the entire finale.
God, I wouldn't wear that in the middle of the summer in the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah, true.
Oh, well, I guess the vampires, they want cold. Yeah, because that's how they're able to spot a lot of these vampire hangouts, is that they got 4 air conditioning machines running.
Do they?
Yeah. Every time they go into a house, they keep moving the same 4 air conditioners from house to house to house. Like, I kept looking for them. Every time they go into a vampire lair, 4 air conditioners.
I didn't even notice that.
There was one house
you point out the air conditioners?
I did.
I wanted to laugh.
There was one house where they could only fit 3 along the side of the wall, so then the other one was around the corner. They were like, we have to have all 4.
Why do they like it cold?
Because they're dead?
Lizards?
I don't know. Why does it matter?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested.
No, I mean, like, why does it matter for the vampires?
Oh.
I'm not coming after you for this.
It's just like, why do they need these
fucking things? I guess they are trying to make it as cold as a tomb in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I buy that.
So you didn't like the fight sequence with the two Nazarian brothers who show up.
Oh, no, I really like that sequence. Okay. They're funny.
Because I think that is a pretty good rival for the opening fight sequence. I the first time we watched this movie, though, I remember thinking that it was just like the same sort of fight over and over, mm-hmm. like from vampire to vampire to vampire. I really enjoyed it this time. And I think it's because the first time I just clocked how many times people fell on their necks. and then by the time we got there, I was just like, fell on his neck, fell on his neck, fell on his neck. And I wasn't really paying attention to the artistry of that fight
the
sequence.
The sheer volume of kills, it is like a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many good kills in this movie that I had a hard time. I was like, okay, remember this one. Remember this one.
I did the same thing.
Like, there's one really good kill where a woman gets beheaded after her head goes through a TV.
Yes.
And Jamie Foxx just pushes the TV.
Yeah.
So it beheads her. Loved that. There's another one where I don't even remember what character it is, but they have a machete and they like rotate it around the vampire's head and then gut his head off. It's just like, cool, that man. Is, cool.
It's like 1,000 great kills in 90 seconds almost, right? It's so hard to keep track of. Every single one of them is great.
Yeah, but you're so right about that being like the John Wick method. It's
absolutely
just like so many and so much that you're just like, wow, we really are just fighting this whole movie.
Yeah, this movie, the John Wick movies, like anytime I watch it, I'm just like, wow, I don't think I ever noticed that. That was fucking incredible.
Everybody's just doing that old boy hallway scene. Everybody. Everyone. Yeah, yeah. We're chasing that high. We've been chasing it for years.
It's a good high to chase.
It's a fucking good scene. So, Dave Franco as a vampire.
Oh, yeah, right. You wanted to talk about this more.
They are so quick and easy to accept vampires can be good. Like, Jamie Foxx seems to really hate vampires. He seems to really dislike them. Uh-huh. I mean, they are just a really good source of money for him.
Yep.
But the fact that Dave Franco is like, I'm a vampire. And he's just like, yeah, I don't think you'll eat me.
I mean, he does kill him.
Yeah.
It's almost like it seems as though that if you were to catch a vampire, just based on how this movie plays out, if you were to catch a vampire before they have like their first big feed, cut off their head, get them to heal themselves.
I don't think that's true.
No, I don't think so. But like he's totally fine with it. Like once his head heals, he's just like, yeah, no, I'm good. This is great.
Yeah,
but
he's
awesome.
Not like, I'll only eat bunnies. At the end of the movie, he's like, I'll eat Carol.
That's right.
And
that's
funny.
That's the other thing. So what's the agreement we have here?
Because there isn't one.
If Jamie Foxx hates vampires this much, like he should, then at some point he's gonna have to kill Dave Franco. Like there has to be like a, all right, man, I'm gonna give you a 2-day head start, but after that you're on your own. You know, like go off, good luck, but I'm coming for you.
Yeah, yeah, and the fact that the vampires can be moral and human, it makes the like lair of vampires feel like really not nice. Like, oh wow, these people.
Oh, because you thought they were like the
more creature like.
Oh. I thought you
were
and
like
say,
only
like,
the senior vampires had like agency, if that makes sense.
Kim, there will be a hierarchy. It does not matter what the community
but
is.
But Dave Franco just got turned and he has a lot of sentience. It just, I had some moral quandaries.
I don't really understand.
And we're pulling their teeth out for sport.
I mean, that's great. I don't really know why Heather is a goodie instead of a baddie and how easy it is. It seems like it's just, it's a choice that you make.
Yeah, and it's just like, these are the only two vampires that are like, no, I don't want to be a vampire. Although, we do learn in this movie they don't pee or poo, so I was like, that's pretty nice. That's a nice perk. You could wait in the longest lines.
Yeah, yeah, right? If you're lactose intolerant, you go find yourself a vampire right now.
Well, they can't eat dairy anyways, though. All vampires are technically lactose intolerant.
All I'm just saying is if you're lactose intolerant and you become a vampire tomorrow, you'll never shit your pants again.
Because you will not eat dairy ever again.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I guess, sorry. I missed what you were saying there.
Still lactose intolerant.
But you'll also, yeah, I guess that's true, but you'll also never need it again or want it again. Just don't eat the chips.
It's the simple things. Just imagine, though, you could line up at Best Buy at like 11 p.m. with no diaper.
We're getting a real good glance at what Kim's life would be like as a vampire. Like, you're just like, first in line. First in line, don't need a bathroom.
I can go on all the roller coasters. Some of them have like 3-hour lines.
Okay, so now we know why Kim likes this movie so much. You recommend people check this one out?
Absolutely.
Or re-watch it if they shit on it the first time?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't hear a lot of people talking
about
it.
We saw all the plot things you saw, but like, meh.
Who cares?
Just throw them out.
He fights a bunch of fucking like Letterman jacket vampires in an abandoned bowling alley.
And a cheerleader vampire.
Yeah, there's the great great characters, great stunt work, fun locations, fucking wall-to-wall laughter with Dave Franco and Jamie Foxx. Like, the movie's fucking hilarious.
It was very fun.
Do you have anything else you want to bring up before we go?
I just wanted to say, on the front of of them just accepting vampires can be good so quickly via Dave Franco and Heather, when Snoop Dogg shows up to save the day, Jamie Foxx is just standing there with two vampires, just like hanging out. Doesn't ask a single question.
Doesn't say a thing.
And just is just like, yep.
But also, he says that Dave Franco texted him.
Yeah, but do you think Dave Franco was like, hey, I'm a vampire now. Come help Jamie Foxx. He needs it. Like, he
probably.
Like, that sounds That's... like a trap. It sounds like you're going to eat me.
That's why he brought Big Bertha, because he's just like, okay, now, if it's a trap, I'm going to make sure I'm covered.
He didn't ask any questions.
No, no, no. Who cares? I mean, and neither should we, frankly. Just have a good time. Turn off. Yeah, I absolutely recommend people check this one out.
Yeah, I would love a spin-off movie with the brothers. I think they could
that would have been fun.
A really fun side thing.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the word bro every 8 seconds?
It just feels, it felt like we could have like Reno 9.
Oh my God.
Reno 9.
That's the crossover we need. The Nazarian brothers with Reno 911.
Right? Just like vampire action movie with like short shorts. Love it.
God, bring it into the universe. Yeah. Oh man, that's a 4 out of 4. I'd give that a 4 out of 4 sight unseen. Day Shift. Just based solely on fun, 3 out of 4.
Yeah, 3 out of 4 for sure.
Absolutely.
Totally watchable.
I mean, if we're going plot-wise, if we want to, like, use our, what, right brain? I don't know what the logical side of my brain is. You know, the score would be lower. But I'm here solely rating it on the fun scale.
Yeah, and it also has, like, a high watchability.
Yeah.
So do I want perfect lore and perfect plotting? Nah.
No, give me a yellow gel on the camera. Maybe amp up the blues a lot and let's
there
get
will only be
going.
Two colors in this film. Sand and sky.
That's exactly it, man. This movie's crazy. But it's such a good time. And believe it or not, has some connective tissue with every other movie that we've talked about this season on the podcast. Hit up the link in the episode description wherever you're listening to this. If you can guess what the secret theme is for this season of Nightmare on Film Street, you're going to win a cool prize pack. And if we get a bunch of answers right, we're going to pull some names out of some hats and give out some other prizes as well.
If you're a big fan of Nightmare on Film Street and you want even more content and to support the show, hit us up on Patreon at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. It is where we post bonus episodes, we review movies live in the theater, and there's some super exclusive rewards like merch and stuff.
Well, okay, so I should say not live in the theater. It's not like the Hollywood Shuffle where we're like breaking in to tell you guys about what's happening. But
yeah,
yes.
Did I say live in the
you
theater?
You said live
I meant
in
like,
the theater.
I meant like live after the theater. Yeah.
We call them Drive Home from the Drive-Ins. It's our first impressions for new movies that hit the theater. We put those episodes out opening weekend so you can make a decision on whether or not you want to go spend your hard-earned cash.
Live in the theater.
Yeah, you can find links for that in the episode description. It's the easiest way to support the show, and tons, hours and hours of bonus content waiting for you over there in the Fiend Club.
Until next time, I'm Kimmy.
I'm John.
I don't think we said our names at the beginning of the show.
Maybe not.
Whatever.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Do you like horror movies? Do you like cocktails? Do you like cocktails while you watch horror movies?
Oh boy, do we have a surprise for you. Cocktails from the Crypt is finally here. You can get a copy of our new recipe book, 60 Terrifying Concoctions, inspired by your favorite horror movies, right now, wherever books are sold.
Learn how to make the Drag Mai Tai to Hell, the Negroni Nomicon.
Surprise your friends with a Jason X-inspired slushy.
Get sloshed drinking a Texas Chainsaw Margarita, or six.
And why not blow your brains at the back of your head with the Killbot Kamikaze? Thank you. Have a nice day.
You can learn how to drink. You can. You can learn how to make these drinks and more in Cocktails from the Crypt, available wherever books are sold, like Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, this infomercial bit has been really fun, but seriously, one, thank you so much to everybody who has pre-ordered a copy of Cocktails from the Crypt. And if you are looking for a gift for the horror person in your life and you have no idea what else to get them, Cocktails from the Crypt is here to help them punch up every Friday movie night and turn it into a graveyard smash.
Plus, the cover's embossed and it looks great on your coffee table.
No, oh, Kim's still stuck in infomercial land, guys. I'm sorry. I think she's gone forever.
It's purple.
You can get Cocktails from the Crypt right now, wherever books are sold. Or you can head over to nofspodcast.com/go. There's links for everything.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.